This is URN.
So this is the news that at a People's Question Time event hosted by Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, there was a protest or rally against the ultra-low emission zone expansion, or ULEZ, in London. The rally was, according to Sadiq Khan, sort of composed of, quote, far-right COVID deniers and Tories. You know, how much crossover there is between those three groups, we can't say. So currently, motorists who use the most polluting cars have to pay £12.50 a day if they drive in London's congestion zone, which is within the capital's north and south circular roads. That doesn't mean a huge amount to me.
So that's basically essentially within the M25.
Right, yeah, okay.
Which is all of Greater London.
So, yes, it's a massive area.
Right. And then the expansion set to happen in August will mean that the whole of the capital, so kind of...
Well, the whole of Greater London.
The whole of Greater London.
So technically more than just what people would think of as the capital.
Yeah, so you can kind of see there is an image here, which I can't really convey that well on the radio, but the current boundary, it looks like the expansion will maybe double the area.
I think it doubles the radius, I think.
Yeah.
It basically quadruples the area.
Yeah.
It's a massive expansion. It is a massive expansion.
Yeah, so it is a big, big expansion. And so, yeah, there've been quite a few protests, quite a few reactions to this. So I just wondered what your guys' opinions are on these ULEZs and what you kind of think of them.
I mean, I think, you know, it's definitely... London is such a unique case. You know, it's as far as, you know, public transport infrastructure goes, in terms of not just England but the UK as a whole, you know, it is sort of the shining beacon. You know, the tube is phenomenal, the overground is very good. Sure, you know, you have the occasional delay here and there, but by and large, especially for these sort of areas that, you know, in Greater London that do receive, you know, benefits for being in Greater London in terms of accessibility to transport, certainly for, I know the elderly get a discount, I believe young people do, you know, it's certainly a thing to consider. And, you know, it's London roads are used a lot. A, you know, £12.50 surcharge on using a car per day is certainly quite steep, but it's also been very, very effective in the area that it's been in at the moment. Obviously, to what extent, you know, people in, say, the smaller areas outside of the immediate London area, you know, in the smaller sort of villages or small towns are going to find the use of for them not being able to run their car, you know, a good chunk to, say, the shops, you know, they have to pay £12.50 or whatever the transport is certainly not going to be great. And I think, you know, you could very much so, I think, reconsider and think about possibly introducing concessions for things like that in smaller areas.
Yeah, I mean, I know currently, I actually didn't realise it was as much as £12.50. That kind of shocked me a bit. I didn't realise it was as much. I know that, for example, blue badge holders, I believe, are just entirely exempt from the congestion charge. So obviously there are kind of certain groups of people that do need to use, you know, cars, because, like, realistically, it's just not feasible to get around. But yeah, I think, like you said, I'm not completely up to date on Greater London geography, but I do wonder kind of at what point this expansion zone becomes, like, realistic, just like any other town.
Well, I think the thing that is a bit worrying to me is that if you look at it, it covers areas like Hillingdon and Uxbridge and Southall, Ealing, areas like that, which really are not London. Like, I know Ealing's getting into towards Central, but somewhere like Uxbridge is, you would not consider that London, and yet to drive from Denham to Uxbridge, Denham's a very small little town, a lot of people there, I assume, will work in and around Uxbridge, just to drive from Denham to New Denham and Uxbridge will potentially cost £12.50 to go to work. You're instantly losing, especially if you're a student or someone who's not working a particularly high-paid job, you're potentially losing an hour's worth of work or more just to go to work if you have to drive, because it's not an easy way to, there's not an easy way to do public transport there. So it's actually going to potentially be of quite significant detriment to some people, just because £12.50 is a lot. We're in a cost of living crisis. Again, I'll bring it up as I did earlier. £12.50 is a lot of money in a cost of living crisis. That can buy a lot of food. A lot of people live on less than that a week. So to then be asking people to pay that just to potentially drive all of 5 minutes to work is quite difficult. And I think Sadiq Khan should certainly reconsider the potentially the amount paid, or if there are some concessions available, etc., because otherwise he will, I think, receive significant backlash for this, and I would not entirely be against that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Jake. I think the problem here is that this is more of a traffic policy than a climate policy, right? So I think a study from Imperial College London found that only very small improvements were actually made to air quality, but it had a really strong effect on actually vehicle numbers. So while that's really good for any congested area of London with strong public transport networks, for areas like you're mentioning, that's not really as important. So I think they're trying to package this as an environment thing in maybe the wrong place. It's just going to stop some people from being able to affordably go to work in areas where congestion just wasn't a problem. So I think maybe a bit of flexibility would be something I'd like to see a bit more from this policy. I know that Paris has at some point done a scheme where it's like on different days, like odd or even numbers on your license plate, like on one day you can go in, on another day you can go in, like alternating. So, you know, schemes like that, more sort of even-handed, more flexible. I think looking at those kind of options rather than applying just a blatant blanket traffic reduction policy across basically all Greater London, I think something like that might help and also mean that people can actually get to work.
Mm. Yeah, it does feel like it's being painted all into a corner rather than giving a little more of subtlety, a little bit of a shade of grey or two, which I think would be very useful here. And by doing this, it feels like there will potentially be scope for a lot of businesses to really struggle, and a lot of people then probably end up working from home, which can, as we're aware, limit sociability. It can limit a lot of exercise opportunities, and it limits a lot of things that really are good for you as a person if you're restricted to working from home. Obviously, if you choose to, that's different. But if you're forced out of it, that's not a decision that should be made lightly. And also to bring up the environmental point, I think London itself, central London, the ultra-low emission zone is useful in some ways for the environment. But as you say, the amount that it's helped isn't massive, which is partly due to the fact that there's so much public transport anyway, and people are still driving there anyway.
Mm.
So it will change traffic numbers in certain locations. I feel the environmental concerns will actually be more greatly seen outside of central London, where there is less traffic anyway. So if you take it from X amount of traffic to very little traffic, obviously, I think the environmental impacts will be larger, but it will also then detriment people travelling to and from places, going through places. So there's a lot more to consider in this situation, in my eyes.
Yeah. You go ahead.
I mean, what I'd like to see is I'm not sure how aware you guys are of London's cycling network. It sort of went off very half-cocked. It's good in some places, bad in others. Famously, I believe one of the cycleways was supposed to go through Kensington and Chelsea, but Kensington and Chelsea, being sort of a wealthier area, decided no, they don't want this infrastructure, so it abruptly stops both sides of the border. I think, you know, Sadiq Khan, this was, I believe, introduced under him. He is, you know, trying to take a hammer to quite a fine, delicate task that does affect plenty of people, when he could, you know, be widening infrastructure for alternative means of travel instead of sort of forcing people to use necessary public transport or still paying, because as you mentioned, you know, people will you know, find that, you know, there's not going to be too much of a decrease in all likelihood, and it will be a strain on those on the outside. And I would like to personally see more infrastructure for things like cycling and walking as alternative modes of transport as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. I mean, you've all mentioned sort of adding kind of shades of grey to it, or being less kind of like taking a hammer to it, as you say. I was in Oxford a few weeks ago now, and they've just introduced, they call it low traffic neighbourhoods, which I think we may have mentioned on the show before, but they are essentially a congestion charge, but it's sort of limited so that if you live in an area, you're allowed to drive your car kind of within your neighbourhood without a congestion charge. Like if a car is registered to a certain property, you're allowed to drive around there, fine, so you can drive to the supermarket or whatever. But if you drive your car out of that area, then the congestion charge kicks in. I'm not necessarily saying that that's like also the perfect solution, but that could be a way of looking at it in London. And then, like you were saying, Jake, that would solve the issue of kind of, you know, people that live in smaller towns commuting to their kind of their local hub for work, for example. It would maybe mean that they wouldn't have to pay for their regular journey. But I mean, when I was in Oxford a couple of weeks ago, just sort of to talk about the protest that happened at Sadiq Khan's talk, which we haven't spoken about very much, but there was a huge protest in Oxford. I'd say, you know, well over 1,000 people who were massively anti this, what is essentially a congestion charge with more steps. And they were also not a fan of the kind of this 15-minute city idea that's been circulating. And I think it's interesting that there is this sort of group of maybe far right, maybe just kind of more right wing in general, conspiracy theorists, you know, kind of COVID denying type people. They all kind of fall into this big category, and they have sort of landed on congestion charges as their sort of latest rallying point, which I think is interesting because I think it ties into kind of the issues with climate change and denying that and government overreach and all of these other issues.
I mean, I think to add one quick extra point as well, to come back to your point, Connor, about adding more kind of public transport options, there's lots of cities that this has been incredibly successful in, like, and places where it's been historically successful. If you look at the Netherlands in general, and specifically Amsterdam, where canals and cycling are hugely prevalent, pollution is very low, and cycling culture is incredible. It's a beautiful thing there. I love the Netherlands, and no small part of it is the amazing cycling culture. Also, looking at somewhere like Venice, where boat travel on canals is particularly prevalent, and Tokyo, where they have an incredible system for public transport, places like that, it's really successful, and it can be done in massive cities, as is shown by places like Tokyo or Amsterdam. It can be done in these huge hubs to very successful degrees, and London can get there. It just will take some time, but I think if the government put the work in, it genuinely could be brilliant. They just need to apply the time and not just, as you say, take a hammer to it. A little more subtlety is required.
So we just need to sink London, essentially, turn it into Venice.
Absolutely.
It happens.